May my speaking and all our responding be in the name of God. Amen. Amen. First, let me explain the little piece that I put in the order of service about the steps towards reconciliation, the seven steps towards the goal of reconciliation where there is conflict. Because if we're honest, nearly all of us find ourselves in conflict with others at some stage. And I recommend the website page I've put on the order of service as a resource to you if you find yourself in that conflict situation. And it's a process that may help lead to reconciliation. I certainly found it a helpful piece from the Church of England's website marking the 100th anniversary of the end of the First World War. And as I prepared the services for today, I wondered whether I might preach about it this morning. However, it's there for you to explore at your own leisure and as you need. And I commend the process of reconciliation to you. However, I decided after yesterday morning's experience to preach about something different. Yesterday morning, I was at the memorial service in Vevey with the Archdeacon, with the Ambassador who sends her greetings but has to be at a French event this morning. And so the French have taken priority, but she is required to be there rather than here. So we do receive her greetings. We're glad that Lorraine's with us and her colleagues. Thank you for being here. And thank you, Lorraine, for all that you organised yesterday with all manner of diplomats and important people all needing to have the right wreaths at the right time and in the right order. So it all went very beautifully. So there I was in Vevey with the Archdeacon, the British Ambassador, many others, including some of you here from St Ursula's, at the Wargrave Cemetery in St Martin. So many people were there, dignitaries from all over Europe, including Germany, service personnel in uniform. There we all were, finding ourselves actually standing on the graves of those who had been killed because of the numbers present. I led the singing of the traditional hymn, O God, Our Help in Ages Past. The 2 minute silence followed with a perfectly timed flypast by the Swiss Air Force. The Archdeacon then added an unscripted, everything was very carefully scripted by the Archdeacon and the Ambassador, but she added an unscripted piece. But it was that well-known passage, and it was that resonated with me and made me realize that I wanted to reflect upon it with you this morning. When you go home, tell them of us, and say for their tomorrows, we gave our todays. That's that famous and so poignant epitaph on the memorial in the Kohima War Cemetery in northwest India. It made me ponder upon whether we are getting better or worse as a society, locally, nationally, globally. Are we getting better or worse? It's a difficult question, perhaps, because by what gauge can we judge what is better and what is worse? Perhaps it depends upon whether you are a more positive sort of person whose glass is always half full, rather than a more pessimistic half empty. I ask the question because we remember today, the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month, when exactly 100 years ago the guns fell silent, marking the start of the end of the First World War. Sadly, not the end of wars and conflicts, not the end of innocent suffering and needless destruction, not the end of the requirement for some to make the ultimate sacrifice in the cause of freedom, justice, and peace, even today, as recent history and our personal memories confirm. But as we are reminded that we are now living in the today for which they gave their todays, we owe it to them, don't we, to at least reflect upon whether our society, locally, nationally, globally, is better than it was because of their ultimate sacrifice? Personally, I don't think we are getting worse as a society, as many people think that we are. Many more people than ever before in these days have the opportunity for greater fulfillment of their God-given potential in terms of life expectancy, quality of life, education, nourishment, health. And surely that must be good and right, and indeed deeply theologically, deeply God-filled, and very much a sign of his kingdom, the coming of which we pray every day, God's will being done here on earth as it is in heaven. No, I don't think we're getting worse as a society, but as our regular news feeds remind us on a daily basis, we have more opportunity to cause greater harm to more innocent people than decades before. And perhaps we've become a more selfish, greedy, self-possessed society, not least, perhaps, for us, falling into the materialistic trap that tempts us to long for just a bit more money, to enable a slightly more extravagant lifestyle, believing that we and our families will be happier as a result. But we never achieve it, however many things, attractions, activities with which we try to surround ourselves. These are false gods. But it needn't be all selfishness and greed. It wasn't in times before. As those who lived through the war years remember, it wasn't all bad and horror. The neighbourliness, the looking out for each other, the sharing, the sense of togetherness, the comradeship, as well as the willingness of those millions who were prepared to stand up against evil in its many guises from so many countries, or to provide safe havens for those fleeing extremism. These also were signs of the kingdom that people experienced in their daily lives and provided the light to bring hope in those dark years. In the book of Revelation this morning, we heard about a new Jerusalem, a new world order where God's kingdom reigns. Pipe dream with little irrelevance to our own society. But there are so many signs of hope, so many good things society is achieving, not least in technology, in research, in medicine, making vast improvements to millions of people's quality of work life and working life, and a greater chance for so many more of fulfilling their God-given potential. So many are breaking down the walls that divide race, creed, colour and gender. These are all signs of the coming of God's kingdom, aren't they? But there are many doing the opposite. Indeed, there are many dark satanic mills, as William Blake described them 200 years ago in his poem, which we sing as Jerusalem in our own day. The curse of the drug culture, with so many lives destroyed directly or indirectly from the associated violence. The rise in hate crimes and lack of tolerance towards people who are different. The blindness towards the refugee and those fleeing violence and extremism. Blindness because we fail to see them as fellow human beings. Maybe it's the pace of life which makes us blind or careless. Maybe it's the corporate greed that is being identified that makes us want a little bit more money. But let's not be hypocritical. We all need money. Even the institution of the church, even St. Ursula's, needs more money. But perhaps it's the way it's raised, and perhaps it's the way it's spent in our daily lives and by our corporations and by our governments that need to be questioned. I could go on, but I won't. Are we getting better or worse as a society? Please reflect upon that question, because Christians are called to work for a society which has the kingdom values that Christ came on earth to show, where individuals matter, irrespective of age, gender, race, or background, where joy replaces sorrow, love replaces hatred, and forgiveness and hope are more widely experienced, as we shall sing at the end of this service. Where more and more human beings can have the opportunity of reaching their potential rather than their lives quenched by hatred or bigotry, by famine or disease, by drug abuse or lack of opportunity. When you go home, tell them of us and say, for their tomorrows, we gave our todays. As we approach the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month, when the guns fell silent exactly 100 years ago, Are we honouring them sufficiently? What more could and should be done? Something upon which to ponder, not least, I suggest, during those 2 minutes of silence we shall be shortly keeping. Amen.